our ears as we hear. Let us not be so much connoisseurs of the word, but doers of the word, Lord. Let it get into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 1 John, and I'm going to try to do my sermon on prayer that I've been promising for. Oh, these aren't my glasses, by the way. I borrowed them. Just FYI, you can tell. I can just imagine what I look like. Okay. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Would someone say no? Say, I'm not guessing. I'm knowing. Chapter 5, verse 13. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. And that's really important. Our confidence is in Him. It's not in yourself. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, can someone say whatever? Amen. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That's powerful verse of Scripture. And in fact, if you flip over to chapter 3, very much parallel to that Scripture, I'll go ahead and read it now. He says in verse 21, and there's a lot to this, but he says, Beloved, chapter 3, verse 21, Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, that whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we believe. Same thing. Same thing. Oh, he's saying the same thing. We believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another as He gave us commandment. Now, this whole book we've been going over, we've boiled it down to these things. John's message is that we believe on the name of Jesus. That's what makes us different. We're not here, Dan, today worshiping Buddha. Or we're not here today learning the secret in a secret book of initiation. We're not here studying Hinduism. We are people that believe that Jesus is the way, He's the truth, He's the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. He's the doorway. And we're His sheep, and His sheep hear His voice. That's us. So we believe in the name of the Son of God. And really, there's far more, Jeff, to believing in the name of the Son of God than just making a confession of our faith. You know, the name of Jesus gives us authority. Did you know that? The Word says, Dan, in my name, I love you. That's why I'm going to use your name all the time, Dan. He says, in my name, you'll cast out devils. That's authority. He said, go into all the world. And if I get a little loud, I'm sorry. I'm really a happy person. I'm just thinking about you new folks. I'm really a very happy guy. I'm the most least threatening guy you'll ever meet until you give me a microphone. It's dangerous, right? So if I get excited, forgive me. But he said, in my name, go into all the world. We have been deputized. Jesus is the King. He's the authority in the universe. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That fundamentally makes us Christians. We're adherents of the name. We believe in the name. This is not a Kiwanis club. This is not a self-help group. This is not an organization to get together and make us feel a little bit better. Neither is it a fantasy. Hello, sister. I don't want to embarrass you. Good to see you this morning. You know who I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. This is not a fantasy club. We're not here making up some special God and worshiping Him. Jesus was, He came to the earth, the Son of God. He was seen by witnesses. The apostle said, we touched Him, we handled Him, we heard Him, we loved Him. And this was the Son of God. And they went out all over the world preaching the Gospels with signs and wonders following. That's why we're here today. There's how many Christians are in the world? Because at the very beginning, these people saw Him, handled Him. And these people gathered together in worship, and it's been passed down all the way to Grace Point, Utica, Ohio. Isn't that amazing? We believe, we hope, we pray, we have the same message that they did. Believe on the name of the Son of God and love one another. Now, this is really key because in chapter 5, he says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us and we have the petitions. And I like that little bit of addition in chapter 3. He says, if our hearts don't condemn us. How many know when we ask God something, we need to ask in faith? If you come to God, you've got to believe that He is, or you won't come to Him. And then you have to believe He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That's our faith. We have a Father that rewards us for seeking Him. We have a Father that rewards us for pursuing Him. And earlier, we've been reading in Sunday school. Today, we just read today, how the just live by faith. But one of the things that John's been teaching, if we want to have confidence before God, this is at the core, this is at the root of everything we've been learning in 1 John. And if you don't learn anything else, I'm not trying to impress you with my preaching today. What I want to do is go look at you one at a time in the eye and say, Becky, are you loving well? Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. Kelsey, are you loving well? He says, go into all, he said, love is my commandment. I want you to love one another. Are you loving well? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Are you loving your family? Are you inclusive? Are you adding people? Do you help people in distress? Are you concerned? He even said prior to that in chapter 3, do you share your material possessions? And I had a word for a sister, and you'll know who you are. I don't know how shy you are, so I'm not going to point you out by name. But you're a person I know that has recently helped people financially. And you had this question, how do I know when I'm being led by God? How do I know that Jesus is leading me? How do I know that I'm hearing the voice of God? And here's your answer. Your answer is when that kindness wells up in you, when that compassion wells up in you, and you want to reach out to somebody else beyond yourself, that is the Spirit of God that's in you reaching out to that person. Someone said, I don't know the voice of God. Every time you're moved with compassion towards somebody, every time you root for the underdog, every time you extend a hand of grace to somebody, that is the Spirit. I'm telling you, it's not natural, it's supernatural. Every time you love an enemy that you should hate, that's God in you, living and moving and breathing in you, being led by the Spirit. So the foundation of our faith in getting our prayers answered, coming from John the Apostle, not Brad, the teacher, but John the Apostle, is that we're believing in the name of Jesus Christ and we are loving one another. When we do that, our conscience becomes clear. Now, how many know we're not under condemnation? Everybody that's in Christ, the Bible says you're not in condemnation. But do you also know if you're walking in hatred and bitterness, you are walking in condemnation. You're standing with God, maybe condemnation free, but you're allowing all these forces into your life to accuse you, to attack you, to open doors up to the enemy. You won't have confidence in God if you're walking in unforgiveness and bitterness, etc. Is that true? You may try to. You may try to pitch your stand, but your conscience is going to trouble you. So I have the new law for Christians, and I'm going to go beyond this. I know we've talked a lot about it. I'm not going to camp here, but that's why the new law for Christians in John, the Gospel of John 13:34, is that you love one another. When you do that and you put your faith in the name of Jesus, you have a basis to operate and walk by faith. Isn't that beautiful? So why some of our faith does not work well for us or our trusting in God is we're always in conflict with people. And I don't know about you out there, how many of you do this, but you're always fussing and fighting and in conflict, and your faith just doesn't work. If God is love, and I said this last week, if God is love and the Holy Spirit is love, then to operate in His gifts and to operate in faith is to operate in love. To operate in the Spirit is to operate in love, and I'm sorry. Under the old way, or an old mindset was, if I do everything just right, if I cross all my T's, dot all my I's, I'll be perfected. I just listened to a Jewish rabbi this week, and his whole point, his whole purpose was, we love the law. We want to pursue the law. We want to do what the law says. The law is our light. And we cross our T's and dot our I's, and he said, if you had two rabbis together, if you put two rabbis together in the same room, you'll have three opinions. I thought that was funny. He said, because they love to argue about the law. They like to fuss and fight about it the old way. But that's not, as believers in Christ, Jesus has simplified this thing for us, faith in Christ. And the just the Word of God says, will live by this faith. It's powerful. This has helped me so much to simplify things in my life. It's made my, Denny said this morning in Sunday school, you know, I have to keep things simple. You don't get any more simple than that. God is calling us one at a time and as a body to walk by faith. God has put His nature in us, and He wants to develop that sonship. I don't say daughtership, but He wants to develop that relationship with us as sons and daughters of God. He wants to mature us so that we can walk, you know, as they say, you're a chip off the old block. That's what God's doing in us. He is bringing many sons unto glory. He's bringing many daughters unto glory. He is causing us to walk by faith. That's why He says, if you draw back, I don't have any pleasure in you. He's calling us to walk by faith and live by faith because He wants us to conform to the image of Jesus. The Lord is always calling you. No matter where you're at in your relationship, He's always calling you forward. Do you know that? Do you know that? When we back away, when we pull away, we talked about this in Sunday school too, how folks, they don't fellowship. They pull away from going to church or to Bible studies or to groups, or they don't have coffee with the people they're having coffee. They kind of back away. When we back away from fellowship with God and one another, we start drawing back. That doesn't please the Lord. The Lord is always pulling us forward. Or if we back up into the darkness, we start looking back like Lot's wife, how she kind of looked back, looked over her shoulder, and she started thinking about the former things. Or the children of Israel in the wilderness, they wanted to go back to the leeks and the garlic. They wanted to go back to the pleasures of Egypt. That doesn't please the Lord. The Lord is always wanting you to move forward in your relationship. He has such wonderful things for you. But the things that God has for you are not things behind you. I want us to get this today. You know, we talk about the good old days. They were the good old days, Roger. But what God wants us to look at are the things that are in front of us. Amen. I got high school friends, you get together and they're still living in 1977. Do you know anybody like that? They still wear the bell bottoms and the flower shirts. Got long hair down to here. No, even the guys that have got good jobs and they've moved on in life, you get together and all we talk about is the good old days. I hope there's more to your life than what happened to you when you were 18 years old. Amen? And I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 85. There's something in your future that God is taking you to. You're not done until you're done. You're not over until you're over. There's still a grandchild that needs you. There's still a son that needs you. There's still a friend that needs you. There's something in your life that God is moving you to, and it always evolves or revolves around the fact that God is forming His character and His nature in us day by day. Anybody ever, their Christian walk gets a little bit uncomfortable? You start getting maybe in a little pressure cooker. God's doing this and God's doing that, and you may not want to go that way. Anybody ever experienced that? I'm telling you, it's a lot easier just to go with God. And I'll tell you what, in the end, it's a lot better to go with God. Now, when we're going with God, when we're walking in love, and when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, He says we can ask what we will, and it will be granted to you. You can have the petitions that you request of God. How many in this room pray and you expect God to hear you? That's the easy part, isn't it? Oh, I know God heard me. I know God heard me. How many of you expect Him to answer you? I don't mean, well, sometimes He says no. No, He says if you ask according to His will, He's going to give you what you ask for. I'm not talking about, well, sometimes He says no. That's not what He said here. He said you have the petitions that you want if it's according to His will. And He said in the other chapter, if you're not walking in condemnation, you can ask what you will, right? And I'll give it to you. I don't mean sometimes yes, sometimes no. That's not what He said here. You can find the sometimes yes and sometimes no verse somewhere else, but it's not here. I don't know where you'll find it, but it's not there. No, He's saying if you're walking in love, you're walking by faith, you're walking according to the Word of God in His will, God is going to give you your petitions. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a goal? Isn't that a wonderful goal? We'll say, well, Brother Brad, I know a lot of people that pray. Doesn't seem like things happen. I know a lot of people that ask. Doesn't seem like things happen. I was just at a wonderful healing conference. It was beautiful. And the whole theme of that, I think I got my bracelet on. The whole theme of that conference was how God wants to heal. And these guys preached healing. But you know, I noticed after the first and second night, there were people getting healed all around. But there were people that weren't getting healed. And I've been going to these type of meetings for 30 years or more. And I've seen many people getting healed and people leaving that weren't healed. Have you seen it? In this atmosphere, because people were expecting, because people were pressing in, because people were believing, there were a lot of healings going on, tons, because people were believing and they were expecting for it. We want to be an expectant church, don't you? We want to be a believing church. I do. I want to be a believing church. But there's always, and I talked to God. I was so thankful the last night, this Dan Kalinda, just called them all up. Kalinda, is that his name? I was so thankful. He said, if you're terminally ill, if you're blind, if you're in a wheelchair, I don't care what your situation is, get up to the altar. I was so grateful that there was a guy that was willing to pray for anybody. Don't you love that? I love risk takers. I love people that say, hey, let's pray for you. Let's do this thing. I loved it. That really made my week. But you know what? Something that the Lord has taught me about any prayer, anything that we're getting from God, this thing is very relational. Your walk with God is very relational. Peter walked on water. How many here of you have walked on water yet? Anybody? I wouldn't be surprised if someone, probably Debbie Liggett, would stand up. Yeah, I did one time. She's full of surprise. I did one time. I thought, oh boy, Dad. Yeah, you probably did. This thing, and this is what the Lord shows me over, it's very relational. Turn to John chapter 15. The Gospel of John chapter 15. And I want to plant here for a minute. All the apostles talked about the exceeding great and precious promises. John the apostle, Peter the apostle, Paul the apostle. Jesus talked about them. In John 15, the apostle says, the apostle is quoting Jesus. He's saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. I don't have a message of condemnation today, so just relax. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it bears more fruit. He prunes it. You are already clean because of the word I spoke to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He or she who abides in me and I in them bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I know you've heard it before, but that Greek word there for nothing means nothing. You can do nothing. If anybody does not abide in me, she or he is cast out as a branch and they're withered. They gather them and throw them in the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask for whatever you desire. Look at that. If you are abiding in me, and I'm abiding in you, you're a fruit bearer, you're living according to my purposes. Well, how do you get that, Brad? Because he said there that without me, you can do nothing. So it's obvious you're living for his purposes because he's the one that's working in you to will and to do of his pleasure, Philippians 2:13. He says, you can ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, and to emphasize what we're learning from 1 John, as the Father loved me, I loved you, abide in my love. Get that, it's important. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. There he is again. You remember the Ronald Reagan debate? How many are old enough to remember the Ronald Reagan debate years ago? And I don't remember who he was debating, but remember what it was, and that's how he won the election, on this statement. There he goes again. You remember that in that debate? I can't, who was he? You remember that? Mondale. And Mondale started talking, and Ronald Reagan, like just like a fatherly, grandfatherly guy. Oh, there you go again. He won the election right there. It just made Mondale look so silly, and Ronald Reagan looked presidential. You remember that, Dan? That's awesome. Okay, well, you could almost say that about John here. He's back on love. Like, there he goes again. He's back on this love thing again. You're keeping my commandments. What's your commandment? That you love one another. He says, abide in my love, live in my love, breathe in my love. Here's the point. This is a person that's not living for themselves, because they can do nothing unless Jesus is moving in them. This is a person that's God-focused. This is a person that's in a relationship with the Lord. Do you know why the children of Israel took 40 days to get across the wilderness? No, God would have, I know he would have, because he said perpetually in Hebrews 3 and 4, they quote it twice there, perpetually, he says, today, if you will hear his voice, not tomorrow, today. Today's the day of salvation. Today, if you hear my voice, okay, do not harden your heart to my word, okay? They would have went in on the first day, but they couldn't go in the first day. They weren't ready to go in. So God had to take them around the bush, take them around the wilderness. And the whole time, and this is us, we're the people of God now. The whole time, God was just trying to teach them something. He was just trying to teach them to believe him. He was trying to enter into relationship with them so that they would walk with him, that they would believe his promises, and that they would march in, and that they would overcome in the promised land. He wanted to take them into the promised land. And he said, today's the day. If you hear my voice, today. Whoop, not today. They're not ready. So they kept going around the wilderness, around the bush, and it says their carcasses all fell in the wilderness, except for two of them. They were the believers. Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit in them. They said, I'm ready. At any given day, Joshua and Caleb were ready to believe God and march into the promised land. That's what God's doing in your life. There's somebody says, I've been around that bush and that tree so many times. Now listen, if you're a believer, you don't have to walk around that bush one more day. You don't have to walk in that wilderness one more day. Today's the day that you can believe God. Today's the day that you can believe. But this thing is a relationship. I can sit here and I can preach. I could preach Mark 11, 23 and 24, and I'm going to, about faith. I can encourage you to believe. God may be working in your life in a different direction, trying to get you to shake off something so you can come to the place of faith, to the place where you do believe, to the place where God can take you into that promise. There are things in your life relationally right now that God's working on you. Is that true? And God cares about you. He's not working on you and working on this relationship because he's angry at you and he's Zeus and he wants to throw thunderbolts at you. He's working on this relationship because he's trying to bring you to a beautiful place. Beulah land, it means beautiful land. God wants to take you into a beautiful place. And sometimes there's old habits and old lifestyles and old things that have to come off of us so we're positioned in a position of faith to hear God. So I don't judge where people are at. We talked today in Canon Sunday School and we had that surgery. And thank God it went well, didn't it? God brought you through that surgery. You said the hole was small like we prayed for. And, you know, me and Kim were praying and we were saying, what can we believe for today? What are we going to believe for today? We're believing right here. We prayed for him right where we were at. If I'd have been Smith Wigglesworth, I'd have pulled him out of the bed and I threw him up against the wall and said, be healed! Linda would have slapped me and would have went on, but I'm not. But we said, this is where we're at. We're going to pray like this and we're going to believe God right here. But we are not content to stay where we're at in faith. We are not content to stay where we're at in our walk with God. I have really been pressing in, and we're going to teach on the gifts of the Spirit and how the Spirit moves. And we're going to go, I think, Jeff, if Jeff and Mark will agree with me, I think we're going to go into Corinthians. We're going to talk about how the gifts of the Spirit move and how they can move out in your world and how they can move in church. We really want to flow in these things because we want to be effective and fruit-bearing people for God. We want to teach these. But you know what? We got to grow in these things. Some people think that the gifts of the Spirit and everything just pops up like ripe berries. Evelyn, when you got saved, the first day you got saved, were you as mature in walking with God and His gifts as you are now? She was not. None of us were. All of these things we're pressing and God is teaching us. I was talking to someone recently about their gift and what God is doing in them. Every part and parcel of this body has been called to something, and you're gifted in a specific way. There are certain gifts that you're going to be more prone to, things that you're going to be more leaning toward, and God is going to use you in our body, but also out in the world. We want all of us to be equipped so we can go into our world fully armed and dangerous. Dangerous to the devil. If you're going to be armed and dangerous to the devil, that's why you got to walk in love, because this world isn't necessarily going to be nice to you. Right? The world isn't necessarily going to thank you for being like Jesus to them. Some will, but not everybody's going to thank you for being awesome. Not everybody's going to thank you for loving them the way Jesus loved them. But you are going to be armed and dangerous to the devil when God fully equips you, when you're walking in love, when you're walking in relationship. And I think that is at the core of what I want to say or teach today, is if you want to grow in faith and you want to grow in these promises, then we have got to get before God in the Word of God and let that Word abide in us, abide in His Spirit, abide in Him, and let Him take us where He will. Let Him address the areas in our life that we've been long avoiding. Let Him take us to these scriptures that challenge us and deal with those scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe them into us. Scriptures that we threw away long ago because surely that wasn't for me. Surely I couldn't be happy. Surely I couldn't have a good marriage. Surely I couldn't have, be successful. Surely my life couldn't make sense. Surely I couldn't be fruit-bearing. Surely my kids can't be saved. Surely I can't be healed. Surely we've thrown so many promises. God wants you to dust off those promises, dust off the Word of God, spend time with Him, and you're going to find out that not just to sing about it, but you're going to find out that He's a good, good Father. And He's got stuff for you. It's relational. God's a relational God. Jesus was very relational. I know there were times when He healed everybody, but He was very relational and intentional when He went up and talked to people and He dealt with them one-on-one. Jesus had a way of speaking. Now think about it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has a way of speaking to each one of us right where you're at. He has a way of piercing right into your heart, right where you're at. He has a way of putting His Word right into you at the right time, at the right place, and saying, this is what I want from you. This is where we're at. As I was thinking about this message today, I had this thought about lessons from cross country. I coach cross country. There's a bunch of great kids from Utica that we coach. I was thinking about lessons from what kind of coach would I be? What kind of leader would I be if I went into cross country and I'm coaching middle school kids? And I went in there and said, all right, kids, we're running the 4-minute mile today. Line up. All right, 4-minute mile, line up. Go. And they come across at 10 and 12 and I'm kicking them and I'm screaming at them. And why didn't you run? The goal is a 4-minute mile. Why didn't you run a 4-minute mile? Line back up. Go. And it's 20 minutes and 25 minutes. And no, that's not how it works. You got to train. You, the coach and the team got to get together and they got to run some distance runs. They've got to do some quarters. They've got to do some hill runs. They've got to do some sprints. And you line up and say, today I want you to hit an 8-minute mile. I need you to hit 8 today. We're in relationship now. I need you to go 8 minutes today. Come on. And then you're a coach, so you look at your kids and go, that one is lazy. I love them, but that one's lazy. That one is really determined. They'll run too fast. I got to back them off. Oh, that one over there, they're just having fun, okay? And so all these people that you're dealing with as a coach. They're all different, and you're not going to say the same thing to all of them. I have one guy yesterday during the race. Everybody was coming by, and I actually laughed out loud because they were all coming by, and I'd say, hey, good, hold your pace. You're doing great. Stay with it. One, you know, girl's sweating, and she's, her eyes are rolling in the back of her head. I know she just wants to quit running. I'm just saying, stay with it. Just stay with it. Don't give up. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, she's dead. She's really dying out here. I'm going to have to convince her to come run the next race. You know, anybody ever run a race, a long-distance race? Well, those are tough. Everybody, it's so easy. This is a lesson for us, even spiritually. It's so easy to say, run faster, go, they're coming, get them. And they're like thinking, are you kidding me? Would you call the ambulance because I'm going to die? And you're yelling, the parents are like, come on, run faster, Johnny. And you're just like, oh my goodness, would this thing ever be over? It's a 3-mile race and I'm at the half mile point and I'm looking for an exit. That's the truth. I mean, I'm not even kidding. That's the truth. But one boy, I know he's a very good runner. He's one of our best. And he came running by and I was encouraging everybody. But when I saw him, I said, you're better than that. You're in better shape than fill in the blank. Go get him. And I backed away, and the people were around me, and they all were looking at me, and I started chuckling. I go, that sounded rough. You know, hey, Jeff, good job, go. Evelyn, that's awesome. You know, Marty, that's great. Patty, stop slacking off. You know, like, amen. Marty's saying, amen, I like that. Now, isn't that the truth? Parents, you have kids. Are all your kids the same? You got those nice, compliant kids. Someone says, I wish I did have one, right? They just do everything you ask them, and Pam was one of those. She was a mom and dad pleaser. Everything mom and dad asked her, she did it, you know. Mowed the grass, took care of the dog. Her brother and her dad are fist fighting, literally, right? I mean, it's coming to blows. And Pam was like, oh, no, don't, you know, she just wants peace. She wants, how many think that her dad treated her brother and her a little bit different, right? Because it's relational. Because it's personal. Because God is relating to you and he's trying to. But do you know we all have the same goal? That's to win the race. My 8-minute miler and my 6-minute miler and my 10-minute miler, I want them all to win. I'll tell you what I do, and don't, Jared, don't tell on me. I grab one, the two fastest runners, and I say, okay, Mitri, this is what you got to do to beat him. You got to stay on his shoulder. Don't lose sight of him. You will outkick him at the end. You're going to catch him. Just keep him in your sight. And as long as you can see him, I know you're faster than him. You're going to run him down. The other one, I say, okay, you got to drop him. When there's a half mile left, you got to drop him. You got to leave him behind. You got to make him think he can never catch up to you. They line up to the line. I go, 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 guys. And so when one runs by, like yesterday, I'm like, the second one comes by, you know, don't let him out of your sight. Don't let him out of your sight. The other one comes by, drop him, drop him. Because they're, I love them both. I don't care who wins. I love them both. I just want them both to do well, and I'm coaching them both. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. He knows right where you're at. He knows what you need. Amen. He knows exactly what you need. I wanted to give another illustration about lessons from the wilderness. Lessons from the wilderness. You know, when we get out there and we get off the trail and we stop following the Lord, some people think that lessons from the wilderness, God's beating us or God's, you know, trying to hammer us down. No, when we get out there and we get out where we quit hearing God, and I know this place, even this scripture even talked about like withering. You start withering. Does anybody feel like they're withering out there? When the voice of the Lord gets indistinct, or we have a prolonged disagreement with God in a singular direction, we just keep disobeying God. Some of us, it's just give your life to God. Okay, you never got saved. Other people, a lot of unbelief comes out of the fact that when God spoke to us, we did not do what he said repeatedly. I'm gonna step on a toe here. Is that okay? One toe? You're living with your boyfriend. God continually, God's telling you, stop it. Okay? And you want to talk to God about your heart. And God's very gracious. He may meet you right there, but he may come right back around. You need to quit living with your boyfriend. It's not good for you. In the long run, you're going to be damaged. Okay? And that he is going to come right after that and talk to you about that. Now, I got this over here, but I need you over here to make an adjustment because he's your father. How many fathers loving your girls are just going to let them go off with any Tom, Dick, or Harry? No way. Well, your Father in heaven's no different. He loves you. He cares about you. He cares about your temporal behavior, and he cares about your eternal behavior, and he's in process. Flip over to James chapter 1. We're going to end here. We're way ahead of schedule today. Yeah. Yeah.
In fact.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, he was reminded, but we had a sixth grader actually won the race. He actually broke or breached his little tibia or whatever. He actually ran like a half mile with a broken foot and won the race. Isn't that amazing? I don't recommend it.
And his family is a Christian. They live in our area.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, he was running for a while like this. Then at the end, he was in perfect stride. I don't know how he did it, but it was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Where was I at? Oh, James chapter 1. Okay. Now, here's the point, folks. If I come in here and I preach and I scream or I yell or I'm teaching or Jeff's teaching or Evelyn's teaching, if we come in and we teach the Word of God and we're preaching the Word of God and it pings off of your heart, doesn't go into your mind and down into your heart, we have done you no good. You're not growing. Say you're lost. I'm not getting into that. You all look saved to me. Whatever saved people look like, y'all look pretty saved to me. Y'all look pretty good, right? Mark, you look pretty good. Y'all look saved to me. But if we come in here and we just hear the word, boy, that was good. Sometimes we like that fiery preaching. I know Mike does. You hear the fiery preaching, the coming at you and preaching. We love that. But if we hear that word and we leave the door and you don't take anything that you're being taught that was from the Lord for you in the Word of God and apply it to your life, it doesn't do you any good. James is saying that you need to become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own heart. Everything is a matter of your heart. Don't deceive your own heart. Do what the Lord's telling you. He's saying a guy that looks at the Word of God, okay, and then he turns away and he forgets what manner of man he was. He's a forgetful hearer. He doesn't put it to work, and it doesn't profit him any. Doesn't do anything for him. But the person that looks in the mirror, that's God's, we've taught on that. That mirror is looking at Jesus and seeing yourself. We're conforming to his image. We've been through this enough. We're looking in that mirror, seeing Jesus, and we should be seeing ourselves. He's who's living in us. And we're seeing that, and we don't forget what we're looking at. We don't forget the word we've heard. We don't forget this. We allow it to mix in our heart. When things don't go the way we think they should, you got the parable of the sower. Satan's going to come after the seed to steal it. Persecution's going to come. People are going to make fun of you because you believe. You're going to be afflicted. The devil's trying to get the seed out of your heart. But you keep looking at the Word of God. You allow that seed to stay planted. You don't let the devil take the seed. You war against it. You let that seed stay in your heart. That seed will raise into a great bay, a bush tree. It's going to be a huge tree. It could be a seed of healing. It could be a seed of relationship restoration. Could be a seed of blessing. For some, it could be a seed of it. Whatever the Lord is speaking to you in his word, he says, if you look back in and you keep looking back in the mirror and you're seeing you are going to be a fruitful, abiding, fruit-bearing Christian. When Kurt Martin came up here and preached, I know it was a great message and some of you were blessed, but you know, if you've forgotten everything he preached, you're in trouble. He preached something that I remembered. He said, sometimes in your environment, and in the atmosphere that you're around, God will speak to you. Remember that? Anybody remember that? It was really good. You're out in an environment, and he talked about different stuff, and some of it was more far out than others, but the bottom line was that you're in an environment, and God, you need to be aware that God is speaking to you all the time. When you go into the Word, you need to be aware that God is going to talk to you in the Word. When you're in certain situations and you need the wisdom of God, God is going to give you wisdom in that situation. I remember right after that, remember I told the story of coming down the street and this guy was blocking me off with his trailer and truck and I couldn't get around him and I wanted to go this way, I couldn't get around him and I went all the way down like Purity, and I came out Cedar or wherever I was, went up on the highway, went up on 16. I turned off. He turned off in front of me. I just couldn't get around this guy. Like, everywhere I wanted to go, he was right in front of me, blocking me. I know you guys are so sweet and so Christian. You just probably said, oh, praise the Lord. I'll just slow down. I know how good Jeff is about that. Oh, praise the Lord. I'll just slow down. Oh, happy day. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is such a beautiful day. Look at the rainbow, Pam. And there's a unicorn over there. Anyway, so you're just happy, right? Well, I go to turn into Family Dollar. I think I wanted to buy some of those cheap glasses like I had on today, one of those power magnet glasses. So I turned it. Guess who turned in right in front of me? I'm not kidding. This dude turned right. I go, my first reaction, which was not always my best reaction, was, oh, you got to be kidding me. And then immediately, Kurt's sermon came to my mind that God speaks to us in our situations sometimes. Don't go, signs follow, don't go looking for signs all the time. Signs follow believers. But I knew in that message, I knew there's something going on here, Lord. This guy in my heart is like, okay. I went in there and, you know, I've talked about this a lot of times. You're walking around. When am I going to obey the Lord, okay? I'm going to walk around the milk aisle first and then walk around the glass aisle. Well, finally, he went over to the water. I just walked. Best thing to do, Jeff, is just walk right up to him. And if you have to blow him away, just blow him away. But I walked right up to him and said, hey, how you doing? And he looked at me. He was a bearded guy, drove a big truck, the anti-Brad type of guy, burly, big, and bronzed, just the opposite of me. And so I go up and say, hey, how you doing? Good. What's going on? Oh, cutting grass. Oh, good. Great. Hey, you go to church anywhere? Yeah, well, I used to. I said, listen, the Lord, I really felt the Lord wanted me to talk to you. Bada bing, bada boom. Winds up, the guy was my neighbor, first of all. He lived right down. Where do you live? Purity. What? Yeah, I live. And he told me that he was one of my neighbors. Number two, he was looking for a church. I go, really? You're my neighbor. You're looking for a church. I go, you ought to come to Grace Point. They have a great pastor. Really good, really good pastor. And I was talking, and I invited him, and I go, bada bing, but I gave him a few words. I gave him a word. I gave him encouragement, okay? Shook hands. I prayed for him, and I liked the guy, and he seemed to like me. Now, if he went out of his car and said, you're not going to believe this nut I ran into, I don't know. Maybe he did, but it seemed like we had a great rapport. But here's my point. I remembered what Kurt preached in his sermon, and I applied it to my situation. What's that? Probably me. He ain't walked in here yet. Can you hear? Huh? Get out of here, Martha. There's crazy people in there. You know, we're afraid of that. That people are going to think we're crazy. And sometimes they might. Sometimes they probably do. I would say 9 out of 10 times they don't. And if the Holy Spirit is asking you to talk to somebody, that probably it's going to... Okay, can I tell you one more story? If you insist, I'll tell you. Sometimes I get full. I just get full of the Lord. I just get so joyful. And I was in Wendy's talking to this lady, and we were talking about a healing and this thing I had talked to her before with her aunt and all this stuff. And we leave and I'm really happy. We heard some good news. Pam's always my constant witness. And we go around the corner. We're going down by the social services welfare office. And my window's down. I'm feeling happy. I feel the Spirit of God. And I look over and I saw a lady and she was depressed. I just looked. She was standing on the corner. And I said, hey, out my window, don't give up. I said, God's telling me to tell you. God is telling me, don't give up. Things are going to change if you don't give up. Don't quit. And Pam, my witness, boom, she started crying. Right on the street. It was a drive-by prophecy. Okay? Bang, bang, bang. Drive-by prophecy. She started crying. She goes, I know. She goes, I know. She says, it's been so rough. Thank you so much. Pam, happened Friday. Literally crying. And I have to go. The light turns green. I got to go, right? And I just leaned back and said, honey, don't give up. It's going to get better. Hang in there. Thank you. Thank you. Most of the time, it don't always go like that. Many, many times when you obey the Lord, it's going to be a positive, good thing. You can have a bad situation. And sometimes when you're learning these things, you can have, but it's not just for that. I'm using that for me because that's where I'm at in my walk with the Lord. When you get up in this word and you realize that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, when you pursue this like silver, when you search this thing like gold, it is going to speak to you. The word of the Lord is going to come to you. There is a word for your situation. There's a word for the trial that you're in. There's a blessing in there for you. If God is your Father, He wants to bless you. He's not trying to find a rod to beat you with, unless, you know, occasionally you might need a little spanking. But God, and that's only so you quit running in the streets where you get run over, right? No, God has a word for you. God has a word for your situation. If you really believed in God, you should be pursuing God with all your might. You should be pursuing God with all. And then when our hearts aren't hardened, when our hearts are soft, and we go to the Lord and we're abiding in Him and we're walking in love and we're walking in the Lord, we ask Him our petitions. Father, my son, about my son. About my son. About my situation. Yes? Yes? Yes, son? What is it? Can you do something, Lord? Would you help him? Would you save him? Would you heal him? Would you intervene? God, I'm praying for my son. Yeah, I'll do that, son. And you're hearing the Lord. I heard a good word for you guys, Butch. I don't know who it was. If it was it you, Jeff, that told me that word? They were praying for you. And they said, everything that you did for your son was not in vain. Everything you did. He's where he's at today because of what you did. I don't remember who told me that. They had a word for you. He said, where he's at today is because of everything that you did for him. It was not in vain. It was not wasted. It was not empty. And more. John, 1 John said, I write these things to you that your joy may be full, not so I can make you miserable. Religion makes you miserable. Jesus sets you free. It's that simple. Did I say you'd never be persecuted? Did I say you'd never have a trial? Absolutely not. Un contraire. No. Un contraire. You're going to have trials. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But if you and Jesus are hooked up, He's taking you where you need to go. And I don't know how to land this thing. Wow, that was 15 minutes. Huh? I did. I quoted it. I just didn't. You should have. Hopefully it was the Brad Kittle translation, but about not being forgetful hearers, not looking in the mirror and forgetting who you are, but doing what God is prompting. And folks, I'll say this and I'm going to end it. It's not the letter of the law. Jesus is speaking life to you. He's not saying, okay, go to church, tithe, do bop, 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 bop. No, He's bringing life to you. He's relational. He's breathing into you. He's speaking to you. Yeah, there are things that, because they're not who you are, they're not your new identity, it's not the person that you are now, that God is going to cut those things out of your life. Because that's not who you are. You're a child of God. Some things don't fit. You're a child of God. There are certain things that just don't fit. They're going to get whacked off. But there are beautiful other things that God is bringing to bring you abundant life. Jeff, would you say amen? Amen. We can be in a place of believing. And I want to believe the Lord. I want to be in a place of believing. How about you? So, Amy, if you'd come forward, just stay seated just for a minute. We're going to sing. And I'm going to ask Jeff and Evelyn to come up. And we're going to, Roger, can you get someone help me push? Well, hey, it has wheels now. Did you fix this, Marty? Oh, praise the Lord. Boy, you're a brother. You are a brother. Look at that. Wow. Look at that. It's so important. We're going to sing. If you, there's a couple things. If you need prayer for anything, you need a connection point, but you feel like, Brad, I've got off. I've been shutting the Lord down in my life. I haven't been hearing. I haven't been listening. Or you may not even know the Lord. You don't even know what hearing from the Lord even means. You're like, I don't hear from God. Okay. And you need prayer. When we say, come up, and don't be afraid. No one's going to judge you. No one up here is going to judge you. You need prayer for anything, and you need a connection point. As we sing, please come forward. We're going to sing, and then we're going to release the service. If you need prayer for anything, if you've lost your way, you need to get back on your track. The altar is open. Amen. You can stand now if you would. Stand now.